should ask him if you can come along. I think he would welcome that, and we would too. Be happy to see more of you out there. We live right in the town of Stettler, right out our dining window. We see all kinds of things in the town, but just across the street is a railroad track of a tourist train station. So sometimes a diesel train is out, sometimes a steam train. We see lots more than that too, but we're happy for company when you can come out, whoever it would be. I want to thank you as a congregation for sharing your bishop. I want to thank Brother Steve for coming. Well, I'm going to introduce the topic of the sermon, but I'd like to get a little input, maybe of the children, if we can, on Friday night we had supper with Mom and Dad at Shady Maple Smorgasbord. It was a good meal, and in the back entryway was a man. He was all dressed up, and he had a big table of roses, but it said wood roses. And they were nice. I wished I had cash to buy some. Not very expensive. The bud was open just a little bit, maybe quite a few different bright colors. It looked very nice. A wood rose, I don't know how he made it, and a simple little stem. When you think of a real rose, what's a part of the rose flower? We got maybe a red rose, the soft petals. You could break the petals off if you want. You got, what else do we got? The green leaves. And what else goes with a rose flower? Can you picture, do you know what a rose is? We got, yes, someone said thorns. It's a title, A Rose Among the Thorns. And secondary title, sometimes preachers like more than one title, The Blessing in the Curse. Do you all live with the curse here? A Rose Among the Thorns, and the subtitle, The Blessing in the Curse. Let's turn to where this curse was pronounced, Genesis 3, verse 14. Did we talk about a rose in Sunday school? Was there a rose among the thorns? Genesis 3:14. Let's read these verses all down through about verse 19. And the Lord God, Genesis 3, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That's the curse to the serpent. And I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The first messianic promise of the rose among the thorns, right here in the curse. The blessing and the curse, right there it is. We're not done yet. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Here's another quote. I don't even know who to give credit for this quote, but I marvel at the redemption God has concealed within the curse, not only the gift of salvation through Jesus, but smaller blessings. In the sweat of thy brow lies the satisfaction of work well done. In the knowledge of good and evil resides the power of choice to please God. We get to choose to please God. How gracious was the hand of judgment in the garden on that day? Blessing in the curse. We sell Amish-made furniture. We have a small store in Stettler. The furniture comes from Illinois. It is Amish-made. One of the best-selling woods is character cherry. They can pay more for premium cherry if they don't want the knots, but the best price, and the, in my opinion, the best looking wood on furniture is a character cherry. The knots are there. Do you have any knots in your life? Are you okay with it? Should be. The other term for it is naughty cherry, but the marketers, we call it character cherry. Thorns, were they created after the curse? I'm not sure. I think the creation was just altered. The lion and the lamb were there before. After the curse, it changed. They're enemies. Weeds, bees, the wasp. I don't know how much changed, but we don't know. But something changed. We have bad things now. Lots of bad things. Do you see mercy? Do you see God's hand in his judgment? That's the purpose of this message. We're going to look at a total of seven passages. We looked at one already, the rose among the thorns, Jesus, and the rest of the curse. We'll bring out more of that later. With that first one, Isaiah 53 says it very graphically. It don't mention thorns, I don't believe, in that passage, although the Gospels do. He wore thorns. He was the rose among the thorns in a very physical way. But Isaiah 53, his visage was so marred more than any other man. The creator of life. So beat up, marred more than any other man. Hanging there alone, his disciples fled. The Roman soldiers were at his feet, gambling on this robe without a seam that they didn't want to tear. And he's hanging, broken in the sense that he was bleeding. He was beat open. He was dying with the crown of thorns on his head. Of course, it was a rose. It was about to be put in the tomb and rise again. Let's go back to Exodus 3, Moses has an encounter with a thorn bush. What came out of the thorn bush? Well, God did. Exodus 3, verse 2. Isn't that strange that God would make himself known in a thorn bush? Exodus 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. A rose bush burning, and it just keeps burning. It's all that, if you ever burn brush, you know how quickly it burns. This one wasn't being consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. God, right in the middle of a thorn bush. God came down to earth. It was a cursed earth to speak from Moses, directly from the symbol of this curse. Exodus 26. These thorn bushes, there was actually the shittim wood, is a wood from the acacia tree. It's considered thorn bushes, thorn trees. Exodus 26, verse 15. Where would you find this acacia, the thorn bush wood? Where did you find it? Exodus 26, verse 15. Thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. And verse 29, thou shalt overlay these boards, these thorn acacia boards, with gold, and make their rings of gold for places for the bars. And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. Right in the tabernacle, God is meeting his people in this place of worship with these thorn boards. Is a place that he dwells, but they're covered in gold. And just for your reference, you could write it down or look at it with me if you want. Joel 3:18 is another reference to, in the final day, this is a prophecy of the day coming, the day of the Lord. What's going to happen to this valley, the Shittim Tree Valley? Was it desert? It probably was. Thorn bushes and the acacia trees. I'm not quite sure, but it gives a picture of a desert. But in the final day of the Lord, Joel 3:18, and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim, the thorn tree plain. Well, that was our third look here at the thorns, rose among the thorns. Numbers 25. What happened in the Shittim Valley? Numbers 25, verse 1. Something bad happened. There's thorns here, remember? God's people are there, but something bad happened. Numbers 25, verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, in this Shittim Valley, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their God, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. God's people in this valley of the acacia tree, the thorn trees, committing adultery, committing sin. They're getting ready to cross Jordan. They're ready to move on to the next phase of their journey, but they're here in this valley of thorns committing sin. It's a passage. It's in our number four that we just looked at there. But we'll come back and just summarize some lessons for us, but let's keep moving through the scriptures. At the end of Moses' life, when his children of Israel were getting ready to enter Canaan, he gives a blessing. And this this thorn bush comes up again, this same word, a bramble bush, Deuteronomy 33, verse 13. So it's maybe painting a bit of a thorny picture so far, but we're not done yet. Deuteronomy 33, verse 13. I believe this is where Moses is blessing the children of Israel by family. And he comes to Joseph in verse 13. And it's actually to Manasseh 2, all the way down through verse 17. But let's read verse 13. And of Joseph, he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath." And he keeps giving blessing to the family of Joseph. Down to verse 16, "And for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush." What bush did he dwell in? He dwelt in the thorn bush. That's part of Moses' blessing of goodwill to the people of the family of Joseph. The blessing of God's goodwill. The one who dwells in the thorn bush. That was to the family of Joseph. Did Joseph know what a thorn was? He did. Down in the dungeon by his brothers, many years a slave in jail, falsely accused. He had thorns in his life. And the older I get, the more I understand some thorns in my own life that I see as a blessing today. But it didn't happen overnight. But maybe it's part of maturing, of aging. You connect with others and you hear the thorns in their life. Sometimes they're still working through it. Sometimes we still have thorns we're working through. And deep, hard stuff. Maybe there's some that always have an easy life. Probably not too many of us. But anyway, Joseph, part of his blessing, the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. That was the fifth scripture. We come to the sixth one. It was part of our Sunday school lesson we've been working through, John 19, Jesus on the cross. It's what Genesis looked forward to. It happened in the Gospels. John 19, you can read it. It says it very plainly here. John 19, verse 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Very, very rough, sharp, flesh gouging beating. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands, mocking him. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith, "Behold the man." In our Sunday school lesson we read, he rose again. He meets Mary. He's alive, but he has the nail prints. Probably had the scars. The Creator had to ask for a drink. The Creator allowed himself all that shame to be hung on the cross with spikes through his hands. He wore the thorns. And then we sing the song, "The Rose of Sharon." Now, I didn't look these up too much in the song books. The Rose of Sharon, I think that song is about Jesus. And I thought there was a song maybe in the Christian hymnal that refers to the Rose of Sharon as a church. I'm not sure, but if it does, I would argue with that. The Rose of Sharon is Jesus. But anyway, I didn't look them up. But I did write down one song here. Can we read it now? Rose among the thorns that references Jesus. While strolling, I wish we could sing it, but I don't know if we have it in the books here. While strolling through the fields of time, there's many things to see, but nature is the greatest sight that there could ever be. Not the wood roses, not the fake roses, but nature. Nature is the greatest sight that there could ever be. The greatest of them all to me is how the world was formed and why the roses have to live each day among the thorns. One day among the world of thorns, a rose began to grow. It was the greatest gift of God this world will ever know. It was the will of God to show that since the world was formed, there had to be a rose to live and die among the thorns. It's our Jesus. One more passage. This one by Paul, 2 Corinthians 12. This is the New Testament. He's a fellow human, fellow believer. Maybe we can relate to this one more than the other passages. 2 Corinthians 12. Are we ever tempted to complain about our problems? Do we feel like we have a heavy load? Well, Paul prayed about his problems here. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. He had a gift. He had many gifts. But with that, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, that's quoting Jesus, it's read in my Bible, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I don't know that Paul struggled with what we call Mr. Nice Guy. He could be real and honest. But he says here, he learned this lesson, when I am weak, then I am strong. It wasn't in his ability to fire off at that high priest, you whited sepulcher. That wasn't his strength. He had to back down on that one. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Can we just summarize these lessons? Thorns, back to that first passage, the curse. We read those verses of the curse, and right in there, the messianic promise, Jesus is coming. Thorns remind us of the pain and ugliness of sin. Someday, God wants to remove that curse. Amen. Even more than he did already. Number two, the burning thorn bush. God can reverse the curse of thorns. He did it right there. He comes in the thorn bush. It was burning, but it wasn't going away. And he met Moses there, but he told Moses, be respectful, take off your shoes. God doesn't take our thorns away. But in our thorns, we see God. God is there. Reverence him. Worship him. Out of that thorn bush, God speaks to us. The tabernacle and the ark of thorn wood. God covers our thorns with the gold of Jesus. He did it in the tabernacle. He did it for Paul. He does it for us. If we give it to him, if we hang on to it and cook it up to be something really big, get bitter over it, that's not giving it to God. We're to be builded together as an habitation of God, fitly framed together, thorns and all, character wood. Turn it over to God. Number four, the field of Shittim that Israel camped in where they sinned, the field of thorns. We need a savior. Moses, the meekest man, he failed that one time in getting angry at the people, disobeying God. He gave in to frustration. He's not the only leader to have done that. I know. Joshua was a type of Christ after the failure of Moses. We know what it's like to be in that field of sin, in that future day. That field of sin is going to flow with living water from the fountain, and it can in our own life right today. Joseph, that blessing for Joseph, that God out of the bush will bless you. He did for Joseph. Thorns keep us alert. Without them, we would be lazy Christians. Paul admitted that. Paul was saying, without thorns, I'd be proud. Joseph is saying, without thorns, I'd be lazy. And I have this story. I tell it at home. I'll tell it here. It's a memory I have of our old bishop at Honeybrook, Bishop Isaac Sensnick. I don't know what his point was, other than that it was something similar to this one, but he'd tell the story of, he must have read it somewhere, of figuring out how to transport fish across the nation, like into the Midwest states. You had to truck fish, and it was hard to get them fresh, and the restaurants were saying they're not fresh. They were live, but lazy fish. They just didn't taste good. You know what they did to make the fish stay alert and alive and then taste good? Drop in a few enemy fish in the water. That kept them all awake. Thorns. We need that. We hate it. We say, why? We need it. Jesus' crown of thorns, it's contrary to the wisdom of this world. Jesus showed us an example, and we're to follow. Where's our crown of thorns? Where's our crucifixion? We have those opportunities, but you know what the world says? I think we've said this in our furniture marketing already. Your furniture, your way, you know, custom built. McDonald's tried it for a while. I don't think it lasted very long, but have it your way, to custom build the sandwich. It didn't work so well, I don't think, for McDonald's world. God don't say that, does he? He says, it's my way. Thorns are a part of my plan. Jesus showed us how. But God does not forget us. The thorns that we think are so ugly and shameful, out of that comes a rose. Paul shows us that too. It was a messenger of Satan. So we could say this, the devil may be the one to deliver the thorns, but God is the one who sends it for our good, for his glory. And I have a little algebra equation I wrote down here. thorns and life equals blessing. Works together. I guess we call that synergism. Thorns by itself, you got the valley of Shittim, the valley of sin. It's ugly. That's not blessing, but thorns and life, and Jesus, put Jesus' life into that, it's a blessing. And us too. Us, we accept that thorn, or many thorns, and God turns it into something good. God and man working together with the curse, with the thorns of the curse. A sick bed often teaches more than a sermon. From Peter, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After you've suffered, you find it. Do you ever pray that, ask God that, you know, maybe we feel like we're at a place where we're not growing, or we're not being challenged like we want to be, and we ask God to help us grow, help us attain more. Be prepared for the thorn to come your way. You're not praying for the thorn, but yeah, you are. We don't pray for bad things. I don't. But we pray to grow. It hurts to grow, right? We want to grow, and part of that is suffering. God loves flowers. He gives you the rose of life. It's a beautiful bud. It's starting to open when you're young.